Hey, this is Chris recording a quick birthday message for Knut, whose birthday it is pretty much when this episode comes out. Hi, gratulerer med dagen. And for the rest of you, takk for at dere hører på. Ha det.
Right.
Oh.
It's been a while.
It's been a while since my last...
confession?
Is this a confession? I can see you, and this is not, like, anonymous.
I guess not, but are confessions ever... Really?
I think maybe the priest always knows who you are. I'm going to eat cake now.
And eat it too? Or have it too?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. I think this is a podcast where we are allowed to eat cake and have it too.
I don't think people like people eating on podcasts. So I'm pretty sure that's like a do not.
Generally, perhaps not, but perhaps... There's an audience where people would like to listen to people eat on podcasts.
Oh, it's like the ASMR stuff? It's like people tune in for this? Okay.
You just have to eat really, like, the opposite of loudly. Softly?
Mm.
Softly eating?
Or quietly.
Quietly. Right. I'm going to just have another bite and...
Was this supposed to be the swearing episode? I have so not prepped.
Damn it.
Okay. Where are we today?
We are at the office.
Whose office?
I guess my office.
Yeah.
Mine office. Mine. Or the office of me.
Title. Are we, like, is it fair to say that everyone is kind of slightly strung out and, like, not totally...
That's fair. I guess, it's evening, perhaps? Afternoon?
Mm.
Where's the line between an afternoon and an evening?
It's getting dark. It's evening.
Yeah. Yeah, we are in the fall, I guess.
Mm.
It's fall.
Mm.
It's September.
Yeah.
It was 1 degree this morning.
Right. That's how you know it's fall, or autumn, as we say in the UK.
Oh. I've been immersed in US culture lately.
Yeah. Well, you live on the internet.
Yeah, that's true. I also live off the internet now. I just realized.
Mm, yeah. You're like... Well, I was going to say something very crude there, but I won't.
No.
No, no, please. It's left to the reader's imagination.
Now I'm curious.
Readers? Listeners? Whatever. What do you people do? We need a automatic transcription and then they can be readers. I read this podcast in like half the time it takes to listen to.
That could be done, actually.
We should do that.
What
could go wrong?
I sort of already did that.
Mm. Was this the IBM thing or something else?
No, this was the IBM thing. What's that?
Can't you, like, upload sort of data sets of audio to Watson or a similar?
Oh, yeah. They all do this. Google does this. IBM does this.
Even educated fleas do it?
Yeah.
All right.
I was just about to venture into telling you about audio transcription microservices, and then I...
Would you?
Yeah. I realized that that's probably boring.
As opposed to the kind of half-hour treatise on JavaScript last time. We then got Chris the Third wrote, and was very...
He disagreed.
He
with
disagreed.
Something.
He did not agree. Yes.
He disagreed about things that has to do with programming.
Yes.
Imagine that has never happened before.
Programmers all agree.
Yeah, we do.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But you have a lot of arguments. Programming joke.
Knut really returns nil.
Sorry, you were going to say something.
Hmm. I tried to recall what he wrote. It was something about object-oriented versus functional programming and how JavaScript is sort of somewhere in between and both places. or something.
Reading far too much into what he wrote. It was sort of a little bit, you're backing the wrong horse.
Yeah.
A little bit. I've now so far overstepped the mark.
I already have two horses, so I think I know more about backing horses than Christopher.
This is where he writes in and says he has three horses in your face.
Well, let's see. But yeah, JavaScript is a contentious thing.
There's a horse plus plus joke in here somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway.
In JavaScript, you can add a horse to a horse and end up with a zebra. Zebra.
I'm just letting you hang there. Yeah. I'm sorry, that was mean.
Yeah.
But funny. Zebra. Norwegian doesn't do that Z sound.
No.
Mm.
Zebra.
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 Yeah.
It's not fair to mock Norwegian.
And this is after a whole day just actually talking English.
I spent the whole day talking Norwegian, so yeah.
I guess this is common ground.
Or, yeah, I guess we'll meet in the middle and like tear out our hair.
So welcome to Small Differences, your favorite cultural exchange program. We are well in. We haven't passed our first year.
Yeah, this is...
This is a 51.
Yeah, this is like Area 51. Of,
yeah.
Yeah, and technically speaking, our third year of podcasting, but really only like 18 months. No, wait, more than that. 20 odd. Yeah, still going.
Yeah, and since last time we actually got some listener email, which I now realize I should have... Has those in up in front of me? But
a machine right there.
Yeah, it's wrong way. It's wrong. It's
oh,
wrong orientation.
No. Can't you just like exert some kind of transform on it, like with your hands?
But you actually have Slack on your
right.
pocket computer device, and
yes, I have a pocket computer device. Also
the way this works is that I actually get the email. From our podcast hosting service, and I will relay that email to you via a direct message in Slack.
Yeah, it's literally a paste with all the header and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun. Ah, here we go.
It's for Mark.
Hi, Mark. Are we allowed to name people?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Listener Mark. It's from Listener Mark.
Last name redacted. Should read it?
Hmm?
Yeah, okay, let's read. Welcome to the section where we read listener email, because we do that every time, right? As a recent immigrant to Norway, I'm thrilled to stumble. This is a bit of bragging. I can just skip that, perhaps.
Wait, him bragging or us bragging?
What?
Who's doing the bragging?
This person is.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like of us or other himself?
Well, he's the one who's thrilled to stumble on the podcast, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's praise for us. That's not bragging. That's like nice.
I'm a teacher in a undisclosed location. And I'm the only new teacher at the school this year. Mm-hmm. Everyone just assumes capital letters. That I know how everything works. Traffic rules, business hours, immigration, phone plans, etc.
Mm.
Listening to the pod helps me realize I am not crazy or an idiot.
Oh.
Well, thank you.
That's such nice feedback. Thank you, Mark. You are not crazy or an idiot. Well, if you are, it has nothing to do with your immigrant status. I think it's really complicated. I think it's like a million small things that make you feel like an idiot. Not you, one generally. How nice.
Yeah.
Thank you for writing.
I'm glad we are helping people.
Apparently.
Should we talk more about traffic rules? Have you touched up on traffic
Not
rules?
Not very much. I mean, we've covered the kind of basic, like driving on the right, which if you're from the UK.
Or Australia.
Or Australia, or New Zealand, or Japan, or possibly Gibraltar. I think that's most of them. Maybe there's one more. Yeah. It's confusing. So for most of the world. Is there stuff... Have you ever driven on the other side of the road?
I have, actually.
Where?
In Shetland.
hours? Yeah. Right. What was it that was hard? Like, obviously there was a whole left-right switch, but was there anything that struck you as inherently more dangerous or difficult?
Going into the roundabout.
The wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was don't do that.
Well, don't go into it the wrong way while I'm in Shetland. Which
okay.
would be the right way in Shetland, but the wrong way for me, or the opposite?
Yes. Sure, all of the above. Yeah.
But what I did in Shetland, I may have told this before.
It stays in Shetland.
Well, not anymore, obviously, but I drove over an airfield strip.
I think you said that before.
Yeah.
But I'd completely forgotten. She crumbed. Why?
Because I guess the road had crossed from there. This was the place that they had to cross.
So, like, normally you have these things and there's, like, a train track and you go over the train.
Mm.
Did you, like, was there a sign that said, like, look up before you cross?
Yeah.
Was there a red light?
Yeah, and a gate.
Okay,
and,
so, like,
yeah.
You couldn't actually drive there if a plane was landing, probably.
Well, you could have just parked in the middle of it and decided
guess.
Not to move, I guess. But, yeah,
yes.
There were some...
Okay.
Some security
so
measures.
The Shetland up. Resistance movement does, you know, like passive resistance. Just park your car in the in the airstrip. Wow. Yeah. I'm sorry. Maybe we covered that before, but I had totally forgotten. Did you struggle with the like right left switch?
In the beginning, it was a bit weird, but I got used to it. And once you are on the highway, I guess. Mm. You kind of get into it.
Did you do the mantra thing every time you're like turning or pulling out onto a main road or anything like that? Did you drive on the left, drive on the left,
yes,
drive on the left?
Yeah,
yeah. Occasionally we do that. We don't have a car.
Yeah, but have you driven?
Not here, and not for a long time. Generally, we didn't have a car at home, so like the last time I drove was yonks ago. But it's gonna happen. I need to get some driving lessons here because I need to be able to drive. Otherwise, my husband does all the driving, and that's like. Super unfair.
Yeah.
He has more experience generally, which is how he ended up doing it, but then that's just like a path dependence thing where I never ever do it.
Mm, I see. But
I cycle all the time.
That's almost the same.
Sure. I cycle on the right side of the road. I'm not a complete animal.
But have you as a couple done... Yeah, you have
yeah,
done
we've
a
driven
fair
around.
Amount of...
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Like to go ski, to the ski hill, to like, you know, like... Trusa, and like around all of a sudden all kinds of places.
And I guess you are sort of renting a car, or are you a part of a sort of car sharing?
No,
thing?
We haven't gone there. Like it's become more of a thing around Oslo. So we've sort of talked about it. Like there's Nabobil, which allows you to kind of borrow other people's cars. But it's a bit like Airbnb. You kind of have to really want to talk to someone before you know. Like if you just want to rock up and take the car, then maybe a car club or something or a.
Yeah, because there's something else called, I think it's Bildelingen or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a sort of shared car fleet.
Mm. Which no one owns, right? It's just kind of pooled.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah we probably will at some point sign up for that.
Because it's kind of strange to be, a car can be a very personal thing.
Okay. Is that how you feel when you, like, because you have your own car. And, like, then when you rent a car, do you ever rent? Is it weird?
It's a way to rent a car or have a rental car because that's no man's land. But to rent somebody's car.
Their personal car.
Yeah.
Now we're back in Airbnb territory.
Yeah.
Sure. But like, presumably you wouldn't be using the car or the apartment if the person didn't want you to use it and get money for it.
Sure, but... Again, a car has an atmosphere.
Mm.
And
do you think it's weird, like if someone's been staying in your apartment and then you come back and everything is slightly in the wrong place? You think it's like that with a car?
I imagine so.
Mm. Oh, look at that! They just put things in the wrong. Oh, it's horrible. I feel invaded.
Yeah, and perhaps they are not doing the transmission shifting the right way, or
they're beating up your gearbox or whatever.
Yeah,
getting automatic, but yeah. Point taken. I'm trying to think if there are any like actual tips for how to drive safely in a foreign country on the wrong side of the road.
I don't know, but different countries had also different sort of mentalities on the road.
Continue.
And I try to muster what the mentality in Norway is. I think we are generally compared to some other countries.
Naming names?
A bit more careful.
Yeah.
Or not that car prevalent.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as you get out of the city, car traffic is very thin.
Yeah.
And, like, it's magically
it's noticeable. Strange. Yeah, yeah.
And strange. Yeah. Yeah, really, I just had a day with Norwegian. because, like, the... It's... You don't... Like, you have to drive very far in the UK to get that quiet and that few... Mm. Those few... I can't English anymore! So few cars. There you go. Nailed it. Yeah, it's really... It's interesting. It just drops off so quickly, and then you're kind of, like, driving around on your own, unless you're on the way to a ski hill, and then everybody and their dog...
Yeah, on certain, yeah. In certain days of the year and so on, holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a great point to make about the most recent visit. No, the second most recent visit to the UK. Right.
Yeah, because you have been visiting...
Twice recently. Random grounds. One wedding, one family visit to coincide with a conference that my husband was at. Right, the Norwegian... I wish to describe the Norwegian... gas station, for want of a better word, like out in the middle of nowhere. You're on a road, it's like a big highway, it's going from like city over here to city over there, 200 kilometers away, whatever. There's like some villages and stuff, there's not really much else. And occasionally you get like a Circle K or some other, what are the other brands?
Esso
or whatever. And they, you know, they sell petrol and you go in and it's a little bit warm and you get to buy like a pizza or some halfway terrible food, right? What's the average number of families, do you think, stop in these places? I mean, just roughly.
Well,
like, at any given time, like, how many families are you going to meet, or people in cars generally?
Oh, like four.
Right. Four. For the whole stop.
Yeah.
Okay, cut to.
Yeah.
We were at this...
I see where this is going.
We were in the UK on a long weekend, like, where the Monday was a holiday for everybody.
Mm.
Or at least everyone in England. And we were driving on the Friday and the Saturday, so to and from the wedding. And we were on a motorway. We were going from like a town over here to a town over there, ballpark distance, 100 kilometres, lots of several lane motorways and all of that. And then we pull off at the service station and it is just rammed. This is like more people than I almost ever see in Norway, like in any place apart from maybe peak ski season or something like that. It's just insane. Like, there's people directing traffic so that you can find the one place left. There's like, there's people standing in like high-vis vests just going, okay, you know, don't go in this row, go in the next row, and then the guy there will point you right, you there, park in there. And there's chaos, and there's children running everywhere, and there's families, and there's like, there's probably 200 cars parked in this lot, and then you go in and there's several kind of, there's like a Starbucks and a Burger King and some other kind of outlets and like a little shop where you can buy Waitrose or Marks and Spencer or something like that, food, and it's just horrible.
But...
Oh, the horror. I can't even.
I never imagined the UK as a place with traffic, actually. It
Shetland may not have been entirely representative.
No, I know.
Oh, jeez.
My mental image
is... I should have taken a picture.
Because my mental image of the UK is that we have London and some other cities.
Yeah.
Nothing in between.
Yeah, it's more nuanced.
Nuanced.
Yeah, right. There's like a lot of in-between stages. You've got your big cities and you've got your tiny villages.
And people are obviously traveling by car between them.
Especially because it was like a long weekend. Huh. So everybody goes, everyone's going. They're not going to the cabin, by the way, because most people not have a cabin. They're going to visit family, or they're just going for a journey, for a trip, whatever. Mm. But like everybody gets on the road, and so the roads are really tight. You've got like 3, 4, sometimes 5 lanes of traffic. It's like the States. It's like kind of Silicon Valley or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
It's lunacy.
I don't think you have roads with 5 lanes in Norway anyway.
Nor should you. What would people do there? I guess they could like rollerblade or something. That would be
perhaps. Nice. But what we do have in between the cities is perhaps not a lot of cars, but a lot of like deer and moose and stuff like that you have to watch out for.
Right. You get signs for that in the UK as well. They are less frequent and I think less relevant. You have to go quite far off the beaten track before you come to, like, occasionally you get deer warnings, especially in Scotland. I don't think we have moose anymore. There are a lot of sheep on the roads in Scotland, but like there are so few cars, it's not that big a drama most of the time. It just, they just happen to be moving from like place A to place B, and there's a road. Who cares? They're sheep. They don't
Our
care.
Sheep doesn't plan to move from A to B. They are just hanging around the road.
Okay. Well, like hoping for scrap sandwiches from the passing cars, maybe like a quick lunch.
I think it's because the road is warm because of the sun.
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. Well, it's never sunny in Scotland, so you don't see that.
But one thing. So we have talked about sort of the rural car traffic experience, but in urban environments like here in Oslo, how would you compare that to, let's say, London or something?
I think the thing that we noticed when we moved to London was if you drive a car in the city, you have to drive quite aggressively. It's not mean aggressive, it's just like assertively. It's like, I am here, and if I don't go into this gap, someone else will take it, so I'm gonna. So everything is done with a degree of, not like showmanship, but like you have to kind of telegraph, right, I'm doing this now, and then you have to execute on that. If you're gonna turn left, you're gonna turn left. You can't kind of go, oh crap, I meant to turn right, and like there's just no room for that. So it's busy, but there's also a congestion charge. I don't know if you saw this when you were in London.
No.
There's like a zone in the centre of town, which I think they're slowly building out. She says, translating from Norwegian in her head. She says, translating what it means to translate from Norwegian in Norwegian. Anyway, I'm just going down this rabbit hole. I'm sorry. But like, I think they just extended the zone a bit. But if you drive into that, then you pay something like £10 or 100 Norwegian kroner per day to take your car in there. And the incentive is obviously not to drive in the centre. And they keep kind of pushing out the edges of this a little bit. To put more people on public transport and to make the pollution, which is terrible in London. Like, Oslo pollution, occasionally a few days a year, gets like a little lid on it and it sits in its own, stews in its own juices. But I think it's usually about May every year where London kind of reaches the theoretical maximum pollution and then it just carries on. We're like, you know, okay, we're all done for pollution now. No, there's more.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's it's a different thing. This is very relaxed.
Yeah. And I think, would you say it's safer to be a pedestrian in Oslo compared to London?
Almost certainly. There are quite strict speed limits in parts of London, which are kind of down at the sort of 20 miles per hour, though. So that's like 30 kilometres an hour. And some even, like, sort of residential streets sometimes are even slower than that, but is it safer? Generally, drivers are very courteous here. I also generally find that in London. There are fewer people in Oslo who will blow through a red light. Definitely.
Yeah, that almost never happens, I think.
Yeah, and that's good.
Yeah.
It happens
because
now
you
and then
are,
in London.
Yeah. Because if you got caught, that would be, I think, the punishment or the fine or something. It's pretty substantial.
Is it the same as speeding? Because speeding is like, don't they kind of look at like what 10% of your income is or something? It's like quite strict.
No, in Norway?
Yeah.
In Norway, it's a flat fee, so it's the same for everyone. But
what is it that's, maybe it was something else that was like a percentage of your income. Maybe it wasn't driving offences. I thought it was designed to ensure that people on high incomes didn't like just do it anyway. Maybe it's not driving offences, maybe it's something else. We'll look it up. That's what the internet is.
Will we?
Well, I will when I'm editing the episodes. I'm putting in all the links.
Yes, please. I'm not aware of any such thing.
This is coffee. No one is peeing on this podcast. It's not that kind of show. Okay, I'm not sure. Was there a lid, or do we just have to drink it before it gets cold?
Hmm?
Was there a lid?
This is the lid.
Okay. It's not
a
lid. There's a hole.
It's a non-lid lid.
Okay. Wow, it's existential.
Hmm.
Existential lid title. Hmm. Driving. Why? Well, you have moved from a city here to a much bigger city. How do you perceive the whole traffic situation?
That's a half-truth, because I actually haven't moved to a bigger city.
Yeah,
to a smaller village or whatever, but in a sort of bigger general traffic environment.
Yeah, you're in like a conurbation, right? Like you're in this sort of big sprawl of, or you're outside it, but like you're near this big sprawl of where people live a lot, more than you were.
Yeah, and there are more lanes here and higher speeding.
Okay.
Speeding, but like speeds.
Or speed limits.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So.
It's not a national thing?
No, not at all. So at the west coast, you generally have, I don't think you ever go above 90 kilometers an hour. But here you have 110 and so on.
Who sets that? Like, who makes that rule? At what level? It's clearly
not
a national rule.
Well, it's the deep state, I guess. No, I guess it's whomever does the traffic planning, engineering stuff, and the risk assessment.
Okay.
But
the Las Vegas and
but the roads at the western end of the country is generally it's more curvy and narrower. And
well, they've got to go in and out all of the fjords and the tunnels.
And the sort of the towns and areas where people live and so on. But here at the east end of the country, you have generally longer highways without much happening.
Yeah, there's not very much geography to get in the way here.
Yeah, and also you have a larger demand because more people are generally carring around. So you have to make them broader, I guess. But, yeah. And this is actually a contentious issue between the East and the West, because there are claims that the East end of the country gets all the good roads.
Right, right.
And
you get all the tunnels, though.
Hooray.
Well, if you like tunnels.
Yeah, if you like them. Yeah, sure. And this is an interesting difference that I noticed, because we have something called the Oslofjord tunnel.
Yes.
Which is a tunnel under the Oslofjord.
You can't complain that it doesn't do what it says on the tin.
What's interesting is that before going into it, you have a speed bump and a rather like 30 kilometers an hour thing going on. And that was completely baffling for me.
Did you see it before you drove over it?
Well, kind of too late. But because we have some underwater and the fjord tunnels at the west coast
as
well.
Loads.
And there you don't have this speed bumps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You just...
Yeah, you just carry on. Just driving under the fjord, business as usual. Nothing to see here, people. Yeah.
And I wonder why this is.
I think it's because there are several lanes, maybe, sometimes.
We have two lanes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it isn't like the West Coast perception of Oslo that's kind of full of people who are being a little bit dickish.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's for that reason.
Or even soft, perhaps. You have to be careful driving into this tunnel.
You think that's why?
Yeah, because it goes underwater, so we have to take it slow.
Just drive really slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get shocked by the fact that you are driving in a tunnel.
Or under the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heaven forbid. Yeah, that must be it. Pampering sort of soft East Coast Norwegians, yeah. With their little padded speed bumps and their... Yeah. I'm sure there was something else I was going to say about driving around in the UK.
Yeah, just how much of the country is covered in roads and fields and how little is covered in trees compared to Norway. Norway is just all trees all the time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Scotland used to be covered in trees and then some stuff happened. There's a really good episode of In Our Time, the Melbourne Bragg BBC thing, which is about like how that happened. I will link.
Yeah.
More driving tips? What should your sort of first time-ish driver in Norway know that like everyone just assumes? Probably you're the worst person to ask, yeah. But like, what are some basic hygiene factors on a Norwegian road? Like overtaking? Yes, no?
What's that?
When you drive faster than the other person and go out into the other lane and then pull
around. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. What to say? You will want to do that because, especially outside the cities and so on, some people are not driving that fast. You have that as well, but you have like 8 hours of driving ahead of you. You don't want to like be spending 10 under the speed limit after this person. So you will have to overtake them, as you say. But then again, you are driving in perhaps an environment where you don't always have that much oversight and so on. So it's kind of an art.
Okay, especially on the West Coast where the roads wiggle.
Yeah, and in no comparison to any other place, because I haven't driven in so many other countries. And when I did, it was usually on some highway situation. But, yeah. And you have monthly videos in the newspapers about someone who has filmed a dangerous overtaking and so on. But surely you have that in UK as well.
Yeah, probably. I don't know if it gets in the papers all that much, but yeah. And people do it.
You mentioned tractors. They tend to actually let you pass. So they will blink and signal that now it's okay to pass.
They do that in the UK as well, actually, in general. People driving very slow vehicles are, I think, not insensitive to the fact that other people are trying to get somewhere. It's worse here because the country's longer. It takes a long time to get anywhere.
Yeah, and well, especially in the summer, we have a lot of tourists in cars, drinking coffee or something.
German tourists in caravans.
I didn't mention any nationality.
Okay,
but they tend to, let's say, enjoy the scenery.
Okay. tootling along very slowly.
But Karens, those are often hard to like drive past.
Yeah,
so,
well, they're long and difficult, and you can't see around them. And, I remember what I was going to say before, which was about the national speed limit. There's a road sign in the UK, which is presumably impenetrable to foreigners, which is this like round white shield with a black diagonal stripe through it. And what it means is national speed limit applies.
Yeah.
And this depends on whether you are on a one-lane road or a two-lane road, how fast you can go. But like, it doesn't say anywhere like 70, you know, miles an hour or anything like that. It just assumes that you have to pass like a written test and stuff to...
Because we have a national speed limit as well in Norway.
Oh, okay.
Which is not stated always.
Okay.
So what you will see is perhaps the past speed limit with sort of grayed out and with a sort of this doesn't count anymore.
Yeah.
What then?
Yeah. We're not very good at doing that in the UK. I don't think we tend to do that. So what then?
That's 80.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you've just gone out of one of those zones, then you do
80. And you are not in the neighborhood. But
which is like 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 80 and 50 is the general... rules of thumb.
Okay.
And if it's something else, it will be, you will have signage repeatedly, at least after each sort of cross section or something.
My impression with Norwegian signage is like if you're a place where it's going to go up and down, the signage is quite good. Like if you're just out on the road in the middle of nowhere, you just assume that 80 kilometers an hour or whatever is what you do, but My impression is that the signage is quite consistent. In the UK, it can be a bit sort of hit and miss, or you can be like, you can be doing 70 and then it suddenly says, go to 50. So you drive at 50 for 10 minutes and nothing happens, and then you go back to 70 and you're like, why? There's a lack of...
Yeah, you'll have that in Norway as well. And there's probably a good reason.
Sure. Let's be charitable and say there's no reason.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering about whether I've broken the speed limit on my bike. Probably.
Like over 50?
No, there are some like city streets where they're quite steep, and it's fun to go downhill fast. And sometimes I'm aware that I'm going faster than the cars.
But you can't be sort of the radar thing doesn't work on.
I don't know. Bike detection is getting really good now. So you know these trackers like you have in Bergen, and there's one near us as well, where it says how many cyclists have gone past today, right?
Yeah.
They're super good at like spotting a bike. And there's a crossing which only really switches on if there's like a person or a bike there. Yeah. Otherwise, it just lets traffic flow.
Interesting.
So I think they're getting better. But I did read somewhere that like some bike detection system somewhere is still confusing the bike path icons. You know, like with the real thing. Like it kind of scans that painted icon on the ground and goes, oh, it's a bicycle. Not quite.
But yeah, now you touch on another contentious issue, not between the West and the East, but between different types of members of the traffic
community.
Yeah. Bikers and those who drives in cars. And in Oslo, that's kind of a hot topic.
Say more.
Well, you mentioned the sort of the fee in London.
It's congestion charge, it's called. Yeah.
And you have political powers now in Oslo that wants less cars in the city area. That seems reasonable. But you also have people that are very much against this idea.
From my cold dead steering wheel.
Yeah, and they have made, of course, a Facebook group called Ja til bilen i Oslo. Yes to the car in Oslo.
Right. Are they nye til bompenger?
Yeah, so it's partly against this street taxing fee stuff. But they also seem to have sort of a problem with people on bicycles.
Right.
Yeah. And there are some arguments going back and forth between each.
Okay. Can you sort of succinctly sum up, like, what are the camps in this?
I suspect this is a bit universal, but the idea is that people on bikes don't respect the traffic rules.
Mm-hmm.
They will run the red lights and so on. And the other way around, that people in cars are harassing by the cyclists, either by sort of doing the...
No, this is a podcast, right? Like you're gesturing with your hand.
I'm signaling to you what I mean. Like when you clean the front screen, like with the the windshield.
Okay.
What? That's the name.
That's the glass
car bit. Terminology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard in second.
When you're cleaning it, like when you.
Oh, the wipers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the wipers, but the. Sort of the soap.
Okay, they squirt the kind of...
Yeah.
And it gets the cyclist behind them?
Yeah. They drive past and squirt. And
they do this?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. It's funny. I say that, it hasn't happened to me yet. It won't be funny when it happens to me.
No, exactly. So there are sort of a war going on. And they park in the cycle lanes.
Mm.
Yeah. And the bicyclers will take pictures of this and complain about it on the internet and so on. And I can't imagine that this is exclusively an Oslo thing.
No. Or a Norway thing, probably.
Yeah.
Everything you've said, with the exception of the windscreen wipers thing, which I think is new to me, is familiar from the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really frustrates me as a cyclist. It frustrates me immensely that people hop the red lights and do stuff, because it's like, car drivers apparently do not need an excuse to look down on cyclists as fellow users of the road, so why give them one? Yeah. If you're on the road, obey the rules of the road. If you're not, get off the road. Like,
But I think the interesting part of this...
Mm.
I guess you can imagine sort of the demographics of those who are car enthusiasts.
Paint me a word picture.
But these people, they also go bicycling.
Right, they have like mountain bikes or road bikes or whatever.
Yeah, and do the stuff. Yeah. And so...
You think they're having this cognitive dissonance of behaving in two different ways?
Stanford prison thing.
You know that that's probably not true now, right? Like,
we know that surely it isn't, but it's sort of the same thing. Because you're in a car and you are hating on the cyclist. Thanks. The other way around when you are on the cycle.
Messed up.
Yeah. Well, provided that you are probably a middle-aged white man.
Oh, is that? Okay. Well, like, why should we give them any more airtime, I ask? You wait, like, a few years, you'll be one yourself.
I'm not yet.
You're not middle-aged. Give me a break.
That's true. Yeah. I guess I have to shut up soon.
Not yet.
Not yet, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't actually thought about that before.
Oh! Pandora's box blown wide open. Yes, so you too can maybe...
I just have a couple of years left where I could sort of have opinions and have them sort of matter, perhaps.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Make them good ones.
It kind of takes the pressure off, I think.
Yeah. What's a non?
In a couple of years, I can just retreat from having opinions and being a part of public society.
Not gonna happen.
Or I could be a hypocrite. But
that works for many people. I find that seems to be a very popular approach.
Hmm.
You might want to look at that. Sorry, I didn't mean to, explode your world there. That was inadvertent sort of collateral damage, really.
But then again, perhaps perhaps things have shifted until then. Perhaps I'm the part of the minority.
Are you going to drive some MRA stuff here? Because, really, one of us is going to have to leave, and I think it should be...
Probably.
Okay.
Oh, you never know, perhaps.
Well, maybe, you'll be under the heel of, feminists and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'll let you know when that happens, when that pivot moment has happened.
Yeah.
Kind of a great continental divide and we're sliding down the other side. I'm still waiting.
But I'm sort of already feeling it.
That?
Because now I... This is perhaps dangerous, but then again, perhaps interesting territory. But now we have the concept of reply guys, right? Have you heard of it?
I might know what it is, but I don't know the name.
Can I mansplain these?
Would you?
But if you do some sort of statement on Twitter as a non-white guy person, and often you will have guys replying to you, and these replies can be categorized in some certain number of stereotypes, like the "well, actually," or
the
"have you considered this," or I don't remember them all.
Yeah.
But perhaps not surprising, I probably many times have been a reply guy. But now that this is sort of a bingo, so you can sort of cross, right? So
Now that you know it's a thing.
Yeah, now.
You can't be that guy anymore.
No, you can't. Or if you do, you have to do it. But yeah.
Well, this keeps on, and there's going to be an absurdly constrained number of possible behaviours for you in any given situation.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the only thing left to do is, like, just be decent.
Yeah, I guess so. And surprisingly, a lot of times, decent means just to shut up and don't say anything.
Yeah. It's annoying, isn't it? Oh, the right thing to do is just to not do anything. Oh, but it burns, it burns.
They have meanings, opinions.
I know.
They matter. Yes. Or do they? Well, perhaps not. Yeah. But, yeah.
Hmm. Do you perceive this as being like a... This is the thing that happens in Norwegian social media, because I'm a Mastodon now. I've basically like deleted everything Twitter-wise, but apart from the podcast account, actually, which still lives, I just haven't used it.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone. But like, I follow a few people who tweet in Norwegian, and I'm not really seeing, like, I don't know if there's enough Norwegians on Mastodon to actually create any kind of that sort of culture, but the absence of that is quite nice.
Yeah.
Whereas in the English speaking sort of toot verse, is that a word?
Mastodonirian.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah.
It is the verse. Is it a master verse or something like that? Or a mastodon? Yeah, who knows? Anyway, in the toot verse, as it's now called, there's obviously most of it is English speaking that isn't
Tutosphere.
Japanese. Tutosphere.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. there's loads of English language stuff.
Yeah.
So one. Although it's by far less jerky than Twitter has become, there's not zero bad behaviour. And I can't read the Japanese one, so I have no idea like what that's doing. But
you also have filters and stuff going on.
Yeah, I haven't really used those actively. I'm exploring a couple of apps, and they don't have one of them is very low tech.
But I've seen that you can sort of mark your toot as triggery or something, so you have to sort of click to see what's going on.
But that the creative use of that, right? It was invented for not safe for work or like triggery content, right? But the alternative uses of this are beautiful. Like some of them are just kind of really fun.
Huh.
Like they're playing on the fact that this is a thing that you've got to click on to open. So I think the nicest one I saw recently was it just said it's been. And then I opened it, and it said stuff about the Bare Naked Ladies song 1 week, which is like 20 years since it was out.
Mm.
But I just liked how they did that.
Mm.
So creative use of the filter thing is good. But how do we get here?
We talked about driving safely.
Yeah, and here we are. Yeah.
Mm.
We had another letter.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we got some good mileage, no pun intended, out of the out of that previous one, but. We had another listener letter somewhere. There we go. You did such a nice job before.
Right. This is from Elizabeth. I just found this on Spotify. I didn't
even know. Are we on Spotify?
Yeah, we are on Spotify.
Go us.
Yeah.
Who knew?
And listening from the beginning.
That's a Herculean task.
This will be a long... Yeah. Welcome, you finally made it, Elizabeth.
If you're still alive, Elizabeth, thank you for persevering.
Yeah. I am from the United States, but since traveling to Norway in May and June, I would love to find a way to move there.
Mm, you totally should. Highly recommend it.
Besides that, I'm also writing a poetry collection inspired by Friluftsliv.
Nice.
Or my own appreciation of nature. Still writing it, but I would hope it could get published in Norway too. I will definitely keep listening. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. It drops off kind of around. No, I hang in as long as you can be bothered.
Yeah.
Bless you for listening. That's very nice of you.
And I agree with Chris about learning the language, despite everyone willing to speak to you in English. I have been using Duolingo 2 for at least 2 years.
Wow. It's about as long as me.
Yeah.
Nice.
Do you still use...
No.
No. Just use the monolingo thing.
Yeah, I gave up on that whole stereo thing now and just down to like one track. Just easier.
Surround lingo, perhaps.
Oh,
I'm so tired. That's not even funny, but I'm laughing anyway. I'm sorry. Big breath. Yeah, that's cool. More people should move here. There's room.
Yeah. There is a lot of space.
Yeah.
We perhaps have to work a bit on the political climate. If
you want to say to someone coming from the US that we better work on it here?
I was just to say that probably being from the US, that wouldn't be a problem. But coming from the Middle East, it would perhaps be a problem.
Say more?
Well, it's just the usual distribution of racism and nationalism, I guess, that we have everywhere nowadays, it seems.
But, like, Norway's right-wing-ish government is way less right-wing, as we have been over before, than most other countries' right-wing governments.
Yeah, like the government, I guess, but...
Attitudes.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, okay, just to, like...
Well, obviously, but there are... Not so far from the powers, there are people with really dark, views.
Motives?
Question
for you, right?
Yeah.
If you think it's hard to operationalize stuff, like if you were conducting an opinion poll about like racial attitudes about race and immigration and so on, like, we've spoken enough about stuff like this that I feel that you think it's very difficult to sort of operationalize things like that and make measurement of them meaningful, yes? Question mark?
Well, it's difficult to operationalize anything.
Okay.
But
well, sure. But I mean, like, that is the only tool that we have for being able to assess whether people's attitudes have swung on, say, nationalism or immigration and things
true.
Like that.
Yeah, okay.
So if you have very low belief in tools like that, why are you worried?
I don't understand the question, I think.
Like, if those tools are at best suspect, then... But they're the only things people have. Like, the things that get reported in the newspapers are, on the whole, based on surveys, for example, like that, or opinion polls and things like that. But if those...
Well, you have things that people actually are saying and promoting as political statements.
Yeah, okay, maybe we should just discount, like, anyone serving in political office for the sake of this discussion. But I meant, like, on a more widespread basis, well, people who are not, you know, politicians.
Yeah, so it's perhaps easy to give prevalence to those being loud on the internet about how foreigners are taking over the country and being fastidious about it generally. Perhaps this is not representative for a general population or mentality, but the only way to know that is to look at these reports. Is that what you're saying?
Well, kind of. I'm just saying, like, how do you know that that's a truth? If the tool is, like, dodgy, then how do you know anything like the truth?
I'm not saying that the distribution in Norway leans against far-right opinions and stuff like that. I'm talking generally about the political discourse and what people are saying and allowing themselves to say and what passes for okay. That's generally what I'm pointing to. And
like the acceptable range of views.
Yeah, and that discourse has worsened, I think, in some ways.
Can we talk about the Overton window before?
The
Overton window.
No, nothing. So.
It's the phrase to describe the acceptable range of views, and if you have a party that goes like way outside it, they can drag that window in the direction of that discussion to the point where now the window has shifted, and now the range of acceptable views is well to the right in this instance.
And I guess
where it would have been.
That's what we are afraid of, I guess.
Yeah. Well, like in the UK, right? UKIP, who are the kind of FRP equivalent, have. Like, despite not really being an electoral force of any kind, managed to drag the whole of that discourse well, like, in the direction of stupid things. Just by being interviewed and
shown on television and discussed, could we not just have pretended that these people barely exist? Because they do barely exist. It's like, I don't know, 200 racist assholes and like they're friends, you know, that's it.
So that's the thing you're pointing to, right? So there, sort of the distribution in how much airtime they get is not sort of aligned with the people.
Reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're a story.
Well, let's hope so. But then again, you have sort of anecdotally the casual racism that you encounter when you go home to your families and having dinners and stuff like that.
Wait, do you like experience casual racism when you go home to your family and they feed you dinner?
Not actually my family, but other families.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah. It's not... I don't think it's ever acted upon, but it is a part of sort of a worldview.
Yeah. On a scale of, like, 1 to 10, how painful is it? Like, say this is your friend's parents, right, who are, say, they're 70 years old and they live kind of away from big cities and stuff. How socially painful is it for a Norwegian to go, actually, you're being kind of racist there? Would you do
it? I'm not sure. I have done it. You can sometimes do it because you are sort of the student from university that comes home and knows better, and you have already typecasts into this
role. They expect this from you.
Yeah, sort of. And you can sort of argue. Someone likes to argue this, right?
Right.
You have those who asks for it, sort of. It depends very much on the relationship you have, I guess. And sometimes you don't bother because you know that it won't change anything, and you will just sort of
aggravate them.
Not to aggravate or just make the situation unbearable, perhaps, or weird or something. So I don't, but
I'm not judging you, by the way. I think in the UK that would be a very difficult conversation to have.
Always.
Much of the time, I think there's a difference between calling someone on something they said that was perhaps a bit poorly phrased or little thought through, and them going, "Oh, I'm sorry, you know, you're right," versus someone just like. Not even thinking that their prejudices are prejudices almost. And just being like, I think there's a lot of ground for being hugely offended there if someone says, excuse me, you know, like I know you're the parents of my partner or friend or whatever, but like what you said was tremendously offensive to me there because that I think would be regarded in many circles as deeply impolite.
Yeah,
which is not to say one shouldn't do it, just it creates unpleasantness.
Yeah, because I don't think it would be interpreted as impolite.
Interesting.
But it would be sort of uncomfortable or...
Creates conflict.
Yeah, sort of, but not impolite, not that kind of thing.
I can imagine there are circles in the US where it's even more impolite to get into that conversation. Because it's fine to kind of, in the States, in my experience, it's fine to get into sort of polite conversation with a stranger about neutral topics, but get into like politics and stuff at your peril. I don't think you would. I think in a way, like that's less discussable there. Certainly, I mean, well, who knows now, but like traditionally, I think it was like you wouldn't go there unless it was someone you knew.
Yeah.
Even if the discussion was not kind of about a conflict, even if it was just sort of a discussion of politics generally. Now, God knows how it is. Write and tell us, people who are living in the US, if you dare. Yeah. We won't use your surnames, we promise.
Do we have a cultural pick of the weeks?
Yeah, of the many weeks that have been.
Have you consumed any Norwegian culture lately?
Oh, well, I have. I am halfway through the English language, but based on a Norwegian serial, Maniac, on Netflix.
Yeah.
So this is apparently based on a Norwegian thing, and I clocked it because in the credits it listed like Espen someone and then two other Norwegian names, and I was like, wait, what? And I looked it up, and it turns out it's based on a Norwegian thing. And I've not seen the Norwegian thing, and by all accounts the Netflix one is a little bit more way out there. But I'm really enjoying it.
Okay.
I have no idea where it's going, and that's great.
Huh. Because I've read that people are also not enjoying it.
Are these people who saw the Norwegian version?
I don't think so.
Can you tell me, without ruining it for me forever, why they're not enjoying it, without spoilers?
I think I haven't seen it. I don't know it. I know as much as you told just now.
Okay.
I actually don't even know what the Norwegian version was.
Okay, I think it's called Maniac.
I have never heard about it.
Okay.
But
from maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
But I think people had an issue with a lack of stuff happening or something, or a lack of progression. I don't know. I didn't read this closely. But
I don't think they're watching the show for the right reasons then.
Okay.
But, you know, who am I to tell you how to enjoy media? Go do your thing. Do you have something you want to...
Do I have something I... I haven't... The only thing I've watched lately, actually, and we have talked about the series before, but I have now finished it, Halt and Catch Fire.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
It's one of the best things I've seen,
yeah,
I think.
Probably, yeah.
Cool.
It's like...
You're living it.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It's... yeah. But hopefully not, in a way.
Yes and no.
But yeah, there was a lot of things to that was familiar, I guess. It's kind of universal series as well, so.
Yeah.
It's a drama.
Oh, but it's just so character-led.
Yeah.
And, like, the balance point between characters who are likeable and characters who are fucked up is just, like, one of the most on-point kind of balancing acts I've seen, I think. Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you finished it. We cannot get into this now because of length reasons, but, like, I have so much. I wrote this down. I've forgotten that I'd written stuff down. I feel that we need to talk about, like, Scotland and related next time.
Yeah.
Because I also went back to Scotland for the first time in actually several years.
Right.
So that's the teaser for next time. Maybe we're like... Samshara.
Coordinates?
Yeah, but like have that at the same time as a swearing episode. Samshara.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Did you have a word of the week?
Did I ever? No, I didn't.
Me neither, not that I can think of. Ingenting.
That's the word, ingenting. Nothing.
Oh, ingensteds.
Ingensteds.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
It is a good word. I guess it means, like, to nowhere.
Mm.
But there's a bar called that here. And then there's a place... What's the place next to it called? Is it Bortover something or other? It's like, it's another meta
it's
name.
It's cute, right?
It's cute, yeah. And you just want to like keep setting up places next to it that are sort of vaguely related. I would open a place near there called that place. I know.
Yeah.
It's a bit Friends this, but Friends is back in. I'm told Friends is cool again.
Are Friends cool again?
Apparently we're doing a 90s revival thing now. Apparently, I don't know. I'm literally the last person now. But yeah, apparently.
Who are you in Friends?
I'm not sure I'm anyone in Friends. What if I'm Chandler?
Hmm.
Who are you?
I don't know.
Yeah, you see? It's not easy.
I fear I'm perhaps a Ross person. I don't want to be a hippie.
I don't think you're Ross.
Oh, perhaps not.
I don't know.
Gunther, perhaps.
That's the Norwegian self-deprecation that I have come to know and love.
Right. Ha det bra. Takk for at du hørte på.
Ha det bra.